Allí está. Okay, everybody, first I need to tell people that I will not be here next Monday night. I think Rabbi Jacob's already probably arranged a substitute, or maybe he'll get off, I don't know. At least for the first hour. Yeah, again, because last week we digressed, well, I'm going to come back to it, about Kolishas and Yana Yitzinias, I didn't do what I wanted to do last week, so I have to continue with Aguna issues for yet another week. And this is going to be very nogeya, because especially if you're going to be in Rabbanus, you're going to be asked about the prenuptial agreements, and etc. Are they good? Are they not good? And then you also need to know about some of the newer things that people are using, which Gedolei HaPoskim have said are not good at all, but they're getting much more piercing in the newspapers and in the open Orthodox communities, which is a little different than the modern Orthodox communities. So you need to know, what do they say, the good, the bad, and the nasty, or whatever it is. So I'm going to mention tonight, again, I'm not sure if I'll finish it all because it's a lot of stuff. I want to mention six different avenues that have been used, or are being used, to matir agunas, or to prevent an aguna situation, and which are good, which are not good, and what are the gedarim. So the first is some type of prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial is simply a fancy word that refers to a contract that is signed before the parties get married or even at the Kabbalah's Panim. The truth of the matter is, you have to talk to a lawyer about this, much of this could also be a postnuptial agreement, meaning theoretically they could just sign a certain agreement either before the marriage or after the marriage. But the question is, what is the teichen of the agreement? So let me give you a few possibilities, and which are vadai good, which are vadai bad, and which are suffic. Let's assume we had an agreement that simply says, I hereby agree, I'm the husband, right? I hereby agree that within 30 days of your getting a civil divorce, which you don't need my haskama, I will give you a get. In other words, a direct promise to give a get. Now, how would that work as a legal matter? I'm going to putting on a lawyer hat for now. So the rule is this. If we enter into an agreement, that is legally what is called a contract. Okay? Now, normally, if you break a contract, it's important that you know this. This is a basic contract law, so give me a chance to be a law professor for 5 minutes. When you break a contract, a court normally does not make you fulfill it. For example, if I enter a contract to sell you something and I don't do it, the court is not going to make me sell it to you. The court will make me pay you the damages for my not selling it. So, lamashal, if I agreed to sell you, whatever it is, 100 units at $1 a unit, and I just break the contract, a court is not going to make me sell you the units. The court is going to say, you go out and buy the units, and if you pay $2 a unit, I have to pay you the extra dollar that you paid. That is called damages, meaning what is not ordered is specific performance. But there is a, and this is an old, old law rule of law, and this is true in the Israeli secular system as well. This is coming back to British law and the like. However, there is a yaitse min haklal. There are in Yonim, where the court will not just be mechayev you damages, the court will make you do the etzem davar. One a common example is real estate. If I agree to sell you a house, I don't have a time to go buy another house and I'll pay the difference. Every house is different, location. In other words, you can't say another house is tashlumin. So b'chiyah gavya, they will actually make me sell the house. Now, the contract that I mentioned is called a get covenant. It is simply a promise to give a get. Now, b'derech klal, if that is a legally enforceable contract, damages are not a tashlumin. What's a woman's damage for not having a get? So, the hope would be that if I promised to give you a get and I didn't give you a get, the woman could take that contract to a secular court, and the secular court would be mechayev me to give a get, and if I don't give a get, what that would mean is I could go to jail. That is how it would work. Now, let me just say right at the outset that a prenuptial agreement that is a pure get covenant is almost absolutely halakhically invalid. And you'll see that the prenuptials that we use are not that.
What's the problem with it?
No, so I'll tell you a few problems. Problem number one is that if the pshat is that if I give the get, then it's fine. But if I don't give the get, what is the woman going to do? She's going to take me to court to force me to give a get. If I give a get because a court is forcing me to give a get, and if I don't give a get, I'm going to go to jail or be fined, that is called a get mu'usa. That is a coerced get. Now, it's a little different than a get mu'usa because this is actually a particular category that the Ramah calls onus de nafshe, because the pshat is, why am I being forced? Because I made an agreement. So there are rishonim that say, if the sibas ha'onus is not stama guy beating me up, but because I was mechayev myself. So some say that is not a get mu'usa, because the etzem haskama was midaitcha. However, the Ramah paskins not that way. The Ramah paskins that even though you were maskim at the time of the agreement, but if you're not maskim at the time of the get, and you are forced by goyim, by the legal system, to give a get, so the Ramah paskins, even unsa dinafshe, this is called unsa dinafshe, it's an einus that came through your haskama. The Ramah paskins, the chol hapachas, that the get is pasul, Now many say it's only pasul drabban in taka, so maybe it'll be masul mamzeris deraisa, but it is a get that is pasul. So a pure get promise, a promise to give a get, is vadai not going to work, at least lamaisa drabbanan, because that falls into the problem of get musa. Again, let me remind you, the principle of kofin oso ad sheyomer reitza ani is only when a beisdin was mechayev a person to give a get. But remember, the whole purpose of the get covenant is to not need a beisdin and to simply say, I promise to give you a get within 30 days of a divorce. So the woman, so if I don't do it, the woman takes me to court and the court orders me to give a get and tells me we're going to continue if you don't give a get. Zakta Ramah, that is Ainsa Denapshe, that is called a get mus. And in fairness to everybody, that is taka, not the prenuptial that is being recommended. But I want you to understand why that's so, because if you were just inventing this, you would think that's the simplest type of agreement. But the MS is l'chula yalma. The get with l'chala pachas be pasul midrabanim. So,
yeah, we pass
from these two. Yeah, we have it. If based in is mechayev a person to give a get, absolutely the halacha is kofin oso ad sheyomer reitzani. But you have to know, again, a lot of people in the Hamonam and the press get it absolutely wrong. They quote the Gemara of kofin oso ad sheyomer reitzani to say that you can always force a guy to give a get. It's not true. If you force a guy to give a get without a psak based in, that he's mechayev to give a get, and we talked about Machlokes the Rabbah and Rabbeinu Tam, the get is a get meusa, the get is puzzle. The Ramah's Chiddush, based on the Rishayim, is that even applies for unsa denapshe, which is an einus that is generated by the person's contract, the person's voluntary his chayvus. Okay, so the get covenant is not going to work, huh?
What's that?
No, that was a Machlokes we waited a few weeks ago. That's simply a Machlokes mitzad abeistim. When will a beisdin order a man to give a get? The Rambam says the beisdin will order a man to give a get if the woman just says mois alive. The woman says, I can't stand the guy. So according to the Rambam, it would actually be very easy for a woman to get a psak beisdin. However, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and all the Nisei Kalim do not paskin like the Rambam. We pass on like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, Mo'as alai, we're not kaifin for a get, because Shema Eineha Nasna Bi'acher. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only the specific cases, the Gemara says, Mukashchin and various other things. And then the Tshuva Sarash says, if she has an amasla means an excuse. In other words, she doesn't just say, I can't stand the guy, but she can prove or show that she was physically abused, etc. In other words, the point I was making is that that's a machloikas, when will a basin order the get? And we fear Zechlek Rabbeinu Tam, so it's not so pushed for a woman. Rabbeinu Tam as modified by the Tshuva Sarash, yeah, yeah. But what that means is, in many cases, a woman might be very, very unhappy, and the basin might be miyayates to give a get. But they're not going to use the magic lashon of chiyuv, mechuyuv to be megarish, and in such a situation, if the woman hires goons to beat the guy up, the get's going to be puzzle, I'll get muusa, because the gateway that enables kefia, the gateway, the aside that enables kofen oso ashiyem eraisa ani, is the psak basin that he's mechuyuv to give a get, and we further affect the rush. But that's a machlokes when there's a psak basin. Again, let me emphasize, without a psak basin, no matter what the situation is, any isoy is kafiyah, that doesn't have a psak based, then the get is a get mu'usa, and then the Ramah is mechadesh, but the Ramah paskins, that even if the isoy comes mikoach his own agreements, which initially was not bikfiyah, but if at the time of the get, he's only giving the get because they're gonna throw him in jail, or they're going to fine him, which is the punishment for violating a contract of this nature, the Ramah says, Unsa denafshe l'chala pachas, the get is puzzle midrabanan. Okay, so...
Is the basin today, or is the basin then? Even a basin today?
Absolutely. Okay. Now, let me explain something. Practically, a basin, unless in the United States, doesn't want to get in legal trouble, so the basin is not going to say, go ahead and beat the guy up. But Lamaisa, I mean, I'll tell you, la halacha, putting aside Chilul Hashem and putting aside the FBI investigations, And again, I'm not saying to do it because there may be a Chilul Hashem and Dina to Malchus Dina. But strictly speaking, if a Beis Din in the United States ordered a man to give a get, now I mean very specifically, not Miyayasim, they said you are Mechuyev Alpi Din to give a get. If the woman on her own would then hire Goyim or Hasidim to beat the guy up, and the guy gave a get because they put a gun to his head and they said, you either do this or we'll kill you, the get would be kosher, because the Gemara says in Gittin that even Goyim can beat up a guy to get a get, if they're saying, Asay Mashi Yisrael Darshim, in other words, do the Pesach Basin. So that's Vada even today. Now practically, as I say, no Beis Din is going to say it. But remember, that's why I said in Eretz Yisrael, you'll remember, where what they did are legally part of the state system. Even the Eda Charedis has a treaty with the foreign nation of Israel to be recognized as a legal court for this purpose. Once the Beis Din is Mechayev, so the government can throw, in Eretz Yisrael, the government can throw a guy in jail. The guy can have his passport suspended and everything else. So in America, the same thing is true. The only thing is that the government is not going to get involved because of separation of church and state, and the Beis Din will get in trouble. I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but there were some prominent rabbis in Muncie, and I know the people that were being federally prosecuted. Because they
across
were
the border also,
yeah,
state lines,
across state lines, because they were using cattle prods, electric, whatever it is, they were doing shtark kafia to make those kids get after there was a stock basement.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Of course, it did work. But the truth is, I mean, the process was stickle corrupt because they were also the base. I mean, it was kind of like. A lot of pikpukim, because the concept was they would tell the women, for $50,000 we will get you your get. Now, how can a Beis Din know ahead of time? So what happened? They assembled a Beis Din, they paskin, their judge, jury, and executioner.
What's the matter of the Beis Din? You get three people, the one to ship three people together, and they said, you know, they get.
Well, yeah, but you have to understand that it's true that you don't need smuchim, but the Pesach Beis Din has to be al pi halacha here. In other words, this is not like a dinei mamonos where a Beis Din can be authorized to do a pshara. I mean, here there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch. When can a Beis Din be mechayev again? When not? So if the dayanim don't know those halachas, then it's not a pesach, right? So there's no particular. So what you could have is. And this would be proper. If you have one Talmud Chacham who knows the halachas, he could be mitztaref to Hedyaitis to be on his Beis Din.
Just very quickly, the Torah says the kosher, not for the other, it's for the man. What they've done now is the woman comes in with a little time or something.
Yeah.
They can upset the whole thing and cause more deed to take place.
Right.
Should they send you for counseling?
That's what they do. There is a cultural issue. On one hand, there is an Indian to be mishtadel for Shalom Bayis. On the other hand, sometimes the Yonim are dealing with something that's way past that, and they should know that. Yeah.
Just to understand, prenuptial agreements, it's usually the women's side who would push for that because of aguna to avoid that.
For that reason, yes.
Is that the
now,
main
now there may be yeah.
There's other reasons as well.
Well, sometimes a prenuptial can also deal with property, so they're kaitel everything. So there may be a reason on both sides, especially in a second marriage. They'll often do a prenuptial agreement. Because each side has children from another marriage, etc., so they don't want their property to be ma'ariv. So that could come from either side. But the prenup we're talking about today is mainly for gets. That usually comes from the woman. Okay. So the prenup.
What's the legality if this prenuptial agreement was done? I get that it's halachically invalid.
Yes.
Will the courts give a counsel?
Yes, because this is a contract, and to use the legal language. This is a contract where damages are not adequate compensation. Therefore, the court will order specific performance of the get obligation. And if a person refuses to do specific performance, he can be held in contempt of court. And contempt of court could be a fine that's you will pay $100 a day until you give a get, or $500, or you will go in jail until you give a get. Now, it's still the case that if the guy is stubborn enough, you know, he'll... Okay, that happens too. But l'chol hapachos, there's a kfiyah on it. Okay. Now, the prenuptial agreement that is very, very prevalent in the more modern Orthodox community is not this, because this is taka no good. This is pashut, it's no good. But this is an agreement that is advocated by most members of the Rabbinical Council of America, the RCA, Rav Mordechai Willick, who's a very chashuva, well-respected Talmud Chacham, who's a Rebbe in YU and a Rav in Riverdale. And it's actually based on Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. So the Emma says this prenup is halachically valid. And I want to tell you what it is, and then I want to show you the sheirish of why it works. And the idea is the following. Let me start with a tshuva of the Rivash. I think I may have mentioned this. The Rivash has a very interesting category, which is an exception to get Musa, which is called kafia al yedei davar acher. Meaning to say, when is a get possible because of kafia? That's when the kfiyah is only because you didn't give a get. So I'm beating you till you give a get. Just haste to get moose unless you have a psak based. But let's imagine the kfiyah came for a reason unrelated to the get. But if you give a get, the kfiyah will be masulik. That's not a get moose. Example. Let's talk about a boat. You know, a person didn't give his wife a get. So I'm a big, strong guy. I go over to the guy and say, you either give a get to your wife, or I'm going to throw you over this ship. So you're shivering, you write the get. You can later say that's a puzzle get. I wrote the get because if I didn't write the get, I would be thrown overboard and drowned. Okay, now, a shtickle different. Let's say you fell over the side of the ship because you slipped and you're drowning. And I go over to you and I say, hey, you know, I have a nice life preserver here. If you agree to write again, right now, what's going to stop him from changing his mind? That's another shayla, but I will take you out of the water. Now, l'chaira, in both cases, the choice is the same, write again or drown. In both cases, it's the same two choices. But the Rivash says, there's a chilek. When the pshat is, I'm going to throw you into the water unless you write again, the kafiyah is, right, the kafiyah, the pressure, the threat to my life is because I didn't give a get. But if the kafiyah, if the threat to my life is because I slipped, but you will take me out of the masav if I write a get, the Rivash says that is called kafiyah al yedei davar acher, and that's not a get mu'usa. I'll give you, before I get to the prenup, I'll give you another example of where this happened. There was a woman in Baltimore who was an aguna for 20 years. Her husband did not give her a get. Very, very, very awful guy. And obviously he didn't have any connection with her. But one of their daughters was getting married. So Moshe Heinemann said the following. Moshe Heinemann said that he owes her child support that he hadn't paid. Child support, you know, money for the children. And if you don't pay child support, you go to jail. You can go to jail. So he said the following. He's planning on showing up for the chuppah of his daughter, get the police to arrest him for non-payment of child support, and when he's in jail, we'll go over to him and say, we will drop the charges if you will write again. Now, do you see how that works like the Rivash? Because he's not going in jail because he didn't write a get. He's going in jail because he's not paying child support. Even though, see, we're not looking at subjective motive. Even though the reason he called the police is really because of the get. But there's a separate independent siva. Yeah. Kfiya al yedei davaracher. So this actually worked. He showed up to the chuppah. He got arrested. Listen, they got arrested at the chuppah of his daughter. But listen to this. Talk about Nashim Tzidkaniyais. She went ahead, without the permission of the Rabbanim, And she went to the police after the day after the wedding, and she dropped all charges. He said, please let him go. She said she could not be soivel that he should be in prison. She thought it would be dangerous for him, and she didn't want him to suffer. So you figure, the chalapach is, let there be a shtikal hakara sataif. I mean, so let him write a get off hakara sataif. No, he went back to his ways. So Rishon b'chayeim, kriyim mesim. By the way, all right, as I want to tell you, what some batei dinim are doing, and they're not, I shouldn't call them a batei dinim, just irresponsible matur mamzeris. There actually was a decision of a fake basedin that actually said, on cases like this, that since Rishayim B'chayayim Kuruyim Mason, she doesn't need a get because we treat him like a Gavra Katila. This would be funny if it wouldn't be tragic. It's Purim Torah with the tragic consequences. Okay.
If they push him in into the water and now he's drowning, why does it make a difference whether he...
Because if the reason, because if the only reason that he's in the water is because he didn't give a get, so Mamela, they were kaifa, they put kfiya on him. They put to give a get.
Surely the Kishina is, when he signs it, what's his kavanah?
But that can't be the case, because in every single case, when a person agrees to the get, it's because he wants to get out of the thing that's threatening his life or his property or his health. So the Rivash's chiddush is that we have to look at the original gairim. That's the Rivash's point, that if the idea is he was put into the water as a way of forcing a get, so we look at the whole hemshik of the water as a kfiyah l'get. If on the other hand it was for another reason that he's besakana, so the get is simply the mechanism that will be masalik him from the sakana. That's the Rivash's chiddush. Even in terms of his das, right? That's what you're asking a kasha on the Rivash generally. I'm giving a get because I don't want to drown. Right? In both cases, that's true. But the Rivash time is that the Esam Kfiyah was not... You have to look at the kavana of the ones that are kofin, the source of the Kfiyah. So, based on this Yesait...
We're only circumventing basing, really. That's the whole point.
That's correct. It's giving a woman a mechanism. Now, based on this Yesait, the RCA has the following idea. One of the chiyuvim of every man, every husband, is to give his wife mizonos. And I'm a chiyuv. As a husband, I am a chiyuv. My chiyuv of a kesuva, while we're married, is to give her mizonos. Now, every time I give a get, that's mafkia, my chiyuv mizonos, right? When I give a get, right? So, basically, now, what is mezainus? Well, theoretically, a basin could quantify it, right? Let's say a woman, if this doesn't happen, Baruch Hashem, that much, but let's say your wife, this can happen, if your wife feels, let's assume she's not working outside the home, your wife feels you're not giving her enough of a grocery budget, she has the right, in theory, to go to a basin and say, this is the size of my family, this are the cost of the makolet and Ramot Eshkol, this is what my husband gives me, I want the basedin to be kaideya mezainus. Doesn't happen that often, but even an ongoing marriage, a woman can go to a basedin and be kaideya mezainus. Now, that's one way. There is another way that the Mishnah Ksuva says, the husband could stipulate up front as part of a contract of his chayvus, that his chi of mezainus is such and such. So what the RCA prenuptial basically says is the following. Whenever we are not living under the same roof, in other words, whenever we are separated because we have a civil divorce, and I'm still mechayev in mezainus, I am mechayev myself a certain amount of money, not, I'll say, punishment for not giving a get. See, if I'm mechayev myself money for not giving a get, that would be get me'usa. But I am mechayev myself mezainus because of my chiyuv as a husband, and you pick a number that's relatively high.
Should it be cheaper?
Huh? The point is this. This is the kinesh. You have to talk to a rav as to what the amount should be if you're doing this, because if the amount is too low, so the guy will pay and not give a get if he wants to be a rasha. If it's too high, it's clear, I'm going to give it $5,000 a day, then it clearly looks like a kanas for not giving a get. It has to be in the range of what is reasonable for she'er and kasus, what is reasonable for rent and mortgage and utilities and mezainus. And the theory would be, you will be chayev on a daily basis for that amount until you give a get. Now, that basically means we're not forcing you to give a get. You have choices. You can either stay married and be chayev in mezainus, or you can end the marriage and not be chayev in mezainus. Now, we never say being mafkia achi of mezainus is a get moser. If that's the case, then every get is a get moser because it's conquering me from mezainus. And therefore, the elamai, the idea was, the kfiyah, the pressure, is not because of the get. The kfiyah is the pressure because you have quantified your obligation as a husband. Now, the emphasis is, this is actually done in Eretz Yisrael without a prenup, because a basin does this now. Let's say a basin feels, also basin may do it, let's say a basin feels a man should give a get, but they don't have the tshuva sarash, they don't have a core ground to be mechayev. So if they simply order him to give a get, it would be a get musa. But what the basin will do is, they will say, okay, we cannot be mechayev you to give a get, but we are mechayev you to pay 1,000 shkalim or 2,000 shkalim a week for mezainis until you give a get. The breira is your breira. You can give a get and be putter from mezainis, or you won't give a get and you'll be chayvin. So the same thing that the Bat Dei Din already do in Kfiyas Mezainis, the RCA agreement puts it up front in the form of a prenuptial agreement.
Is it backed up by the legal system in Israel?
Yes, yeah, yes, it's backed by the legal system. And in America, the prenup would be backed up by the legal system as well. And the woman is allowed. In other words, that's an interesting question. The interesting question is, how does a woman enforce? She enters a prenuptial agreement that the husband has to pay her, let's say, $300, $500 a week, let's say. If the husband doesn't pay, she has a contract that she can go, right? But on the other hand, she can't go to secular court directly to enforce that contract. That would be an issur of arkos. So she would have to be mazmanim to basin, which would be mechayef him. And if he refuses, she can then go to civil court. Meaning, the financial obligation could not be directly enforced in a secular court. That would be an issur arkos, like any contract. If I enter a contract that I owe you money, you can't go to a secular court, lechatchila, and enforce it. So the truth of the matter is that the RCA prenuptial agreement, which is based on mezainis, is essentially doing what the Bat Dei Din in Eretz Yisrael do, but putting it in the form of a contract, is fine. There is no problem with it. Nevertheless, I have to say that in the yeshiva shiur, so if somebody says, I'm not going to be I'm not going to get married unless you allow this agreement, you know, you can allow it. It's not a big deal. But in truth, in the yeshivisha and the Haredi world, this agreement has not found a tremendous amount of use. It's not clear why. Some of it are the politics of guilt by association. If it comes from the modern ones, you know, we're not going to leave, whatever. It's that mechanical idea that we automatically apostle. In fact, the pioneer of this, going way before the RCA, going back to the 1930s and 40s, was the Rabbi Shaul Lieberman, who again, a very interesting person, a big Talmud Chacham, and a very firm person personally, but he was really the great Talmudic scholar of the Jewish Theological Seminary. So this has a yichus of psul all the way back with Shaul Lieberman and the RCA, you know, etc. But there's really nothing wrong with it. I will say, though, that operationally, it may not work that much for a very simple reason. The thing that will be mechayev the guy to give the get is he doesn't want this bill to keep on accumulating. Right? If he's very rich and a menuvel, he doesn't care. And if he's relatively poor, he also doesn't care because he goes, all right, you keep on accumulating. I don't have any money to pay you anyway. Right. So it doesn't work
you
for.
You can't put in the go to jail.
Huh?
You can't put in the.
No, not for this. Yeah, you have to understand that under any every secular law system, not paying a debt does not throw you in jail except for child support. Child support is miyukat. That's why I mentioned that. But stamazah, if I agreed to pay my wife's support, generally speaking, I would not go to
the
jail
for that.
You go after the assets, that's true, that's true. But again, if a guy's very rich and he wants to hurt his wife, so go after me, who cares? And besides, rich people have ways, the whole profession, of hiding assets. They put assets in different people's names. There's a whole chachma, it's a whole specialty. Even, well, if you're dishonest, b'chal, you're a ganav. But even honestly, there are attorneys who specialize in protection of assets from creditors through different transfers. And the like. So if you're very rich, you'll get away with it, and if you're very poor, you'll get away with it, right? So it may not work that much, but I do want to tell you that don't worry. The RCA prenup is a kosher agreement, and it will not result in a get ma'usa. Now, so one reason why some people are against it is it comes from outside the yeshiva world. Another reason people are against it is more of a maybe a ruchnistic reason, and that is they taina that, you know, the RCA likes people to do it at the chasne itself, at the Kabbalah's panim. At the Kabbalah's panim, we signed it, and we do it for Pearson, because their whole concept, they want to be mefarsim. So some Rosh Yeshiva, some Rabbanim feel that it is not proper to the Shalom Bayis that at the very day of the wedding, we talk about ways of getting out. It takes away the commitment, it takes away the notion that I'm in it for keeps. Now, the obvious pircha on that is, well, wait a second here, we signed the ksuva that does the same thing. Well, yeah, but the ksuva also includes almana, you know, that's not saying there'll be a get. This is bedafka, a get-oriented thing. Now, this may sound like a subjective idea, but... You're right, that's right. But you know, this sounds very subjective, and you know, maybe you know. But the other is some people feel strongly about it. But if that's the only time, so do it the day after the wedding. Do it the day before the wedding. All right. So don't do it the Pearson, but you can still do it. All right. So I don't have a strong nitiya against this. Although as Itaina, I don't think it's as helpful as the RCA thinks it is, because a lot of people enter into agreements and just don't pay them. So l'mayim nafkamina. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll agree to pay you $1 million, but you know, go after me. I don't have anything. But the Maisa, if it doesn't help, it's not mazik. And as they say, it does have the Haskamah of Zalman Nechemia. And there are some early tshuvas of Ramesh, not about this agreement, but about things analogous to it.
Does Zalman ever do it himself?
Well, you see, let me point out, in Eretz Yisrael, it's less necessary to do it. Let me tell you why. Because the based in itself is Kaveya Mezainas, that are enforced. In other words, you see the chab. In America, even if a basin is kaveya mezainis, that would not allow enforcement in the legal system, unless you have a contract. So in America, you got to make it a contract. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to make it a contract, because the basin can be mechayev the mezainis directly, and that becomes enforceable in the legal system. So Rav Zalman Nechemia, I think, was the mechadesh, I believe, when he was a dayan. He was in the Rabbanet, he was the one that was machadesh to be koveya mizonos in order to create an incentive to give a get. So they simply took his idea, they adapted it to the American system by making it a contract, which is called a prenuptial agreement, and he was Muslim. By the way, you got to be careful, Zalman Nechemia is one of those people who is constantly misquoted on everything. So. I'll mention some examples that he's often used. Whenever people do something like totally chutz l'machana, they'll say Zalman Nechemia was maskim. Around 60% of the time, he was not. I'll mention some examples of where it's shreklich that they associated with something that he absolutely rejected. But this he was maskim on. So yeah.
So doesn't it make the risk of she'll just run away if she doesn't like things? She'll just run away and then she'll get. Either very well paid.
In other words, don't you have the hashash? Yeah. So there are.
On the marriage, she'll just run away.
Yeah. The agreement is a little more complicated than I put it. There are clauses if she leaves without justification. I mean, there are tanoim there that this.
Basically, have to decide if it's reasonable.
Right. There are tanoim in which he has the right to take her to a basin if she refuses to go, etc. So it's not so open and shut. They do address the Shemayna Noshna B'yachar. So that's the RCA prenup. Such a prenup is not necessary in Eretz Yisrael because the basin itself could do the same thing without an agreement. You don't need a haskama. Now, let me mention some other things that are used, because not everybody has a prenup. An old hatsa'ah that really goes back to the 1930s, and we have a whole sefer of Chaim Eiser, Paskin, or Sameach, all of the gedolim of that tekufa. Some people suggested, this was the rabbinate of Paris, which had a problem with men who were running away and not giving a get. You know, in Paris, you know, people, unfortunately, were mishuk in affairs and they would abandon their wives. So somebody suggested to make a tanai under the chuppah. The tanai under the chuppah basically says, Hareyat mekudeshesli, on the tanai that I give you a get, you know, within 30 days of a divorce. So if I don't give you a get, l'mafreya, we were never married. The idea of kedushin on a tanai. Well, unfortunately, all of the gedolim said it's not shayach kedushin on a tanai, based on the yesod of the Gemara in the seventh parak of Ksuvos, called Ein Tanai Bin Nisuin. Ein Tanai Bin Nisuin is a klal that says that when a ma'aris, a woman, and it used to be 12 months between erisin and nisuin, in other words, all of the cases of kedushin on tanai is when the tanai was made b'shas erisin. So during those 12 months, if the tanai is not mekoyim, there's no kedushin, and you don't need a get. Good. But the Gemara says, Machlech is Rav and Shmuel, but we pass him like Rav. Once a marriage has been consummated b'bia, because of the yesod of Ein Adam Eise Bilase Bilasnus, if I'm Bayal on a Tanai, that would mean if the Tanai is not Mekoyim, it's a Bilasnus. Ein Adam Eise Bilase Bilasnus. So the halacha is Ein Tanai B'nisun, meaning to say, all Tanoim are Eiver Ubatal when there is a Bia. So it's not Shayach to make a Tanai that the Kedushin should be no good, als Tanai. Because even if you made a Tanai Mefurish under the Chuppah, it would only be valid for three hours. It'll be valid until there's the first bia. As soon as there's the first bia, oh, it's tonight. There's no tonight. And this was a kuntres. There's actually a sefer. It's an old sefer. You probably can't find it. But it's called Ein Tanai B'Nisuin. And this was directed against the rabbinate of Paris. And you really have all the big guns. As I say, Rav Chaim Eiser, the Or Sameach, I think Rav Chaim, Rav David Karliner, all of the Rugachever, all of the big gedolim that say it's not shaykh. So it's interesting. People are bringing it up today as if this was never, no one ever thought of this before. People are bringing it up when in fact this was the hatsah of the rabbinate in Paris that was discussed in the 1930s. Now, prenup is one, right? Conditional marriage, the law, the Hilchos Tanai is a second. Now a third.
Sorry, yeah. I don't understand why it can be not be a biasnus. It's not because it be a biasnus.
Whenever you're bayal on a tanai, bayal on a tanai, what does tanai mean? If the tanai is makoyim, we're married. If the tanai is not makoyim, we're not married. If we're not married, that means my bia with this woman was the bia to a woman I'm not married to. That's called biasnus.
Right.
So memela, a person is never bayal on a tanai, even if he was makadesh on a tanai. He is not bayel on a tanai.
He says mufurish, that's my kavanah.
That's correct. We pass it in such well, he says mufurish. If he said it in front of Adam, he had to say it in front
isn't
of Adam.
At the time.
No. Even if he said it mufurish at b'shas erison, the tanai is no longer there b'shas bia.
Because he says my bia will be adasnus.
No, he has to say it right before the bia to Adam. So it might be shayach if right before the bia, b'shas bia, there are two edim outside of the bedroom door, and he says, "I'm bayo l'shem tonight." That might be good, but that's not that typically doesn't happen. Theoretically, could happen, but you know. And keep in mind, this would have to be repeated every single bia. So if he was so conscientious to do this for the first bia, he'll lose the tanai, the second bia. Now, the truth of the matter is, the proposal is not as outlandish as it would seem. I mean, the psak is, ancient I've been assuming, but the emesis, it's Yadua that there's a chua from the Rivash, again, the Rivash is that many psakim here, that when somebody is not frum, and they don't keep Tyrus and Mishpacha, let's say, then they're willing to have a biasmus. So why do you apply this rule? Okay,
but
not really. That's anyway, because they know the Maisa Bilas Bilasnus. Many Rishonim say it's not because of the Aveira Shebetova, but simply because Bia represents complete commitment and not conditional commitment. So even if you're not religious, the din of Ein Adam Isa Bilas Bilasnus is still going to apply. Meaning, the Rivash is not totally makubal by, like it's Masha, the Rambam would be chaylik on the Rivash, that it's not als the Isser Shebetova, but it's the Metzias of Ein Adam Isa Bilas Bilasnus. Now, the third avenue that some people are bringing up, again, which is not makubal, is Hafkas Kedushin, based on the concept of Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kedushin Minei, that when you're Makadosh a woman, you say the words Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, and Kedas Moshe means I am Makadosh according to the law of the Torah, and Yisrael is according to the Haskama of the Chachamim. And we find in the Gemara a number of circumstances where the Chachamim were misakein that a Kedushin should be Mufka, and that's even after Nisuin. See, that's, in a sense, it's really a Tanai that my Kedushin is Chal only if the Chachamim are Nisrazeh, but it's better than a Tanai because it works even after Nisuin. Now, the question is, this idea of the Rabbanan being Mafkia Kedushin, the question of me, well, which Rabbanan? I mean, the rabbis today could just say we want them to be Afka. So there is a machlekes. Some Rishonim say that the Chachmei Hador of every door could actually make takanos of Hafkas Kedushin. Other Rishonim say we only have 5 cases in the Gemara where it was done, the specific cases. It's like a bitl of a get or whatever it would be. We're not allowed to be Maisa. So again, it's a chaimer of Eishes Ish. I mean, if you want to be sonnech on the Rishonim that say the rabbis today could be Mafkia Kedushin, even if you go with that, well, which rabbis? You notice I didn't say every rabbi could do it. We're talking about the Chachmei Ador. Who are the Chachmei Ador? You know, it's not so simple. Different segments of Yidden recognize different groups of Chachamim. Right, so it's a very dangerous thing. You're fooling around here with an Isser of Eishes Ish. You're fooling around with Mamzeris to be Saimech on Shitas, Das Yochid in Rishonim. It's the other way around. This is not something that you can be Saimech on a Das Yochid, because this is Nogeya Klal Yisrael. This is Nogeya Mamzeris for Keret. You have to find things that work according to most Shitas. You can't say, oh, this works like this reason. It's different than Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, it's only Nogeya. What are you going to do on Shabbos? What are you going to do? So it's shy for me to say, well, you're a Shasas Chak, it's a difficult situation, so we will permit you to do something that a Das Yochid matters, a Shasas Chak. But to matter an Isereshus Ish, you really need a broad Haskana. Because otherwise, you have Mamzerim out there. Well, some people will say they're Mamzerim, some people will say they're not. What's going to be? There's an Erbuvia. People won't be able to marry each other. And the Lederi Darius, it'll just get increased. It's as if we'll have, segments of Klal Yisrael. Some people marry these Jews, some people marry these Jews. So, both the Tanai, a Beferish Tanai, in other words, you're Lamafreya not married if I don't give you a get, and Hafkas Kedushin are Hatsa'ot that have been, and again, some in the modern world are calling for them, but the Gedolei Torah have said it's not shy of such a thing. Now,
why can't Tanai be made like a concubine? No? Because that's circumventing the problem of the Zmir.
So that's not a Tanai. You're saying don't make a marriage at all.
Just no, 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 I'm married, but if I don't get that, it says I don't get the divorce within 30 days, it's not a marriage, because that's the news, but if I don't get the divorce in 30 days, then with my Freya, but this wife of mine is really a concubine.
No, no, that would still be a BLS news.
Oh, really?
Yes, so yeah. And there's, as they say, because even if Pilegesh is mutter, it's called a Bilas Nus.
A Bilas Nus?
If Pilegesh is mutter, how does that work then? It should automatically go away as soon as they start.
Oh, okay. So the Rambam, the Rambam answers that. The Rambam says Beferush that Ein Adam Maitza Bilas Bilas Nus is when a man was Makadesh, a woman, Bekedushin, even if he made it tonight, when he's bayal lechalutin. But if lechatchila he did not do a maisa kedushin, if lechatchila he took a woman as pilagesh, then he is bayal bilasnus because that's what he wanted. Right. And there's the Rambam says the whole rule of ein adam aisa bilasa bilasnus is only when you did a kedushin with a woman. Remember, that's why I told you, that's why a civil marriage. You know, why don't you say, every civil marriage should turn into a kedushin because ein adam maisa bilasa bilasnus. So the reason is because there was no maisa kedushin there. So you don't say that. Now, let me mention a fourth avenue, which Aliba DMS does work, but it is misapplied in catastrophic ways, and that is a yisoid called kedushin b'tois. This is different than a tanai. This doesn't simply say, if I don't give you a get, you're l'mafreya, not mekudesh. That's a tanai. Tanai doesn't work once there's bia, because ein adam aisa bilasa bilasnus. But kedushin b'tais is a pre-existing tais. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Kedushin b'tais works even after bia. The tais could even be modest. Hamakadesh esayish almanash ani kayein. V'hu levi. She doesn't need a get. Kedushin b'tais. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which in this day and age gets even more relevant, about a woman who married a guy, and she eventually discovered he was gay, but he was marrying her because he wanted to give himself status in the community. So Rav Moshe Paskin, and he refused to give her a get for some reason, Rav Moshe Paskin, she does not need a get, because that is a tais lechatchila. A woman would never have been maskim to marry a man that was homosexual. Now, bisexual would be an interesting shayla. But, you know, it's Amo, this guy is Amo Baris Anokim. He's not capable of consummating a marriage over there. Rav Moshe says kedushay tais. Now, the emes is,
there's a caveat to this.
Yeah.
As soon as she discovers that he's gay, she has no relations with him then.
Right, I'll get to it. Yeah, I'll get to that. Now, ties can exist in a lot of things. Ties can exist in lying, in fraud. He misrepresented his financial status. He misrepresented his medical condition. He misrepresented his psychiatric condition. One has to go to a rav. It's a very, very delicate issue. And the chatchila vivad I try to get a get. To be yaitzeh from any sveikas. But there is a makom in halacha for the musug that is called kedushay tais. But kedushay tais has a big, big trap for the woman. Again, as Rabbi Grafstein said. And that is, because of the idea of ein adam aisa bilasa bilasnus, once she knows of the tais, and she has bia with the guy, after she knows of the tais, bia with the guy, that, so again, tais does work even if she had bia, but only if she didn't know. Once she knows of the tais, b'chiyai gavna, that is called a mechila of that tais. Now this creates an enormous dilemma both for a woman and for a rav. Let's say, for example, like this. Let's imagine you're a rav. A couple comes to you, and the woman says, and they already have children even, and the woman says, I discovered recently, let's say, recently, that my husband, now again, keep in mind, to be a tais, it has to be something that predated the marriage. It can't be things, right, you understand, it can't be things that happened later. But she says, I discovered that my husband was committed in a psychiatric hospital before I was married. I discovered he was a wife abuser before I was married. Kedushin b'tais. Now let's assume that the Rav feels that this marriage is salvageable, that maybe they can work things out, maybe they can be shalom bayis. Let's assume it's reasonable. Now the woman might be willing to do that, but she has to know that if she's going to go down that mahalach, if things fall apart, she will have to get a get, and if that's, in other words, she won't be able to be stymied anymore on Kedushei Tais. So Mimela, the problem is, if he's a type of unstable personality, who may not give a get, that may indicate that we shouldn't recommend Shalom Bayis Bedavka, because that will take away the only right that she has, Kedushei Tais. So it's a real dilemma, because when there's a time, now, Bishlama, if she says he does all sorts of rotten things after we were married, so no, let's pray her. She's going to need a get anyway. It's not going to be twice. So good, so you could push Shalom Bayis, right? You understand? This is a very specific dilemma I'm raising. Lagabe things that happen later, so you work on Shalom Bayis. If it doesn't work, you need a get. But Lagabe and Inyan that was a Kedushin b'tois, you got a real problem. I, have, as a Rav, have to try to evaluate how psychologically stable is this guy. And if Lamaisa, they try to work on Shalom Bayis and things fall apart, will she be able to get again? Or is she going to be in Aguna? Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult situation because of this. Okay, now.
Also, it's the other way. Yeah. If the woman has something that is a good do shit to us because she, without some information or something.
It's great. It works. It's a vada works both ways.
But it's easier for the get.
Right. Almanash Shadi Kahenis, right? The Mishnah says. Kedushei Tais. Okay.
And now, it changes the status of the kids.
Huh?
And
it changes
the status of the kids.
Well, Kedushei Tais just means the kids were born out of wedlock. But that's okay. A kid born out of wedlock is not a mamzer. In other words, kids are born, if their parents are not married, there's no psul on the kids per se. So it does not reflect on the kids.
Is any of psak basin or just a rub the community can say it's Kedushei Tais?
A rav can paskin, but I would highly recommend that it be given to a gadol on the gedolei hador. You don't the paskin kedushei tais. You're not doing hsh. A regular rav should not paskin on this.
If he's a real rush, he can still mess her up, though. I mean, what if there's a bekoch when she knew? He says you knew from the beginning.
Okay, so there has to be there would have to be a hachra. Okay, that'd be, yeah.
Because I mean, suffix of when she knew.
Yeah, it would be a problem. Yeah, it would be a problem. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That can come up.
She says she just found out. How do we know? Maybe she knew, or she's just using it as a...
Well, if we go to a base, then the base would have to figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. You know, the Gra says an interesting thing. The Gra says that a dayan has to be wise in two separate inyanim. The dayan has to be wise in the halachas of the Torah, and the dayan has to be wise in assessing whether people are lying or not. And that's a whole separate chachma. Because even if I know all the halachas, I can paskin based on what you say, but if I don't know that you're lying, the psak is going to be a sheker also. That's what it means, din emes liamita. What is emes liamita? Emes in the chachmas ha-Torah, and liyamita in the mitzias of the island. This is the
mitzvah. Huh?
That's
how
the Gemara catches it. Yeah, that's how the Gemara catches it. But really, it's come out of a Perush Taisus. Taisus says it in a different lashon, but that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara in Mishlei says in MS liyamita. This is why he says by Sheichat, we just learned this in my Mishlei share, there are two psukim by Sheichat. Don't take a Sheichat, ki a Sheichat yaver einei chachamim is one pasuk. And another pasuk says, "Hashaychad yaver pikchin, ain't a pikchin." The shaychad takes away your chokhmah, and the shaychad takes away your pikchus. What is chokhmah and what is pikchus? Chokhmah is your Torah knowledge, and pikchus is your common sense in assessing who's telling the truth and who's lying. I can tell you a nice with the Gra about the idea of pikchus. It also involves an aguna. There was a woman who was abandoned by her husband for 20 years. 20 years later, a guy shows up who looks old, like a soldier from the army. And he knows, he looks a little like her husband, but she doesn't think it's her husband. But he says, "I'm your husband." and he knows every detail. He knows everything. He knows the birthmark. He knows where things are in the house. He knows everything. So the woman is really going crazy. You know, is it my husband? I don't remember. So they go to the Gra and they say, what is it? So the Gra says to her father, he says, take this guy to Shul and tell him to go to the seat where they used to sit and say, I'll be there in a minute, just go to our seat. Go to our makom. So he takes the guy to the Shul and says, just go to the makom, I'll be in a minute. And the person didn't know where to go. So they knew it was a faker, that basically her husband had been in the Russian army and this guy had been his roommate and this husband was dying in war and whatever it is, B'Seif Yamav, he pried out all of the secrets. But the Gra says, a shakran never thinks of Devarim Shebikdusha. So a shakran will know where the bank accounts are, and a shakran will know the birthmarks on the body, and the shakran will know the furniture. But it's lo yasek adaita, he's not going to have a havamina to think about the show. So the Gra says, ask him about the show, he's not going to know it. And then you'll know that he's a shakran. That's a pikhus, so to speak, of an unusual matter. Okay, now let me mention that although Kedushei B'tais is vadai, a valid yesaid that can work in some cases, but this is one of those yesaidis that have been abused and misused and have matured eshesish and mamzeris mamish, because you understand it's a dover pashut that to be a tais it has to be a pre-existing chisara at the time of the Kedushin that the woman didn't know. If the guy is a bad guy afterwards, that's not a tois. So what some, I don't want to even call them Batei Din, but what some organizations representing themselves as Batei Din have done is, they have basically said, I'm simplifying a little bit, although not too much, that bad behavior later must have had a seed and a sheirish. So they basically make arguments that are ridiculous. They basically make an argument, hey, any man that is so bad that he doesn't give his wife a get when she wants a get must have been a real mushkis before she married him. And if she would have known that he was such a bad guy that he won't give her a get 30 years later, she never would have been maskim. And they call that a Kedushin B'tais. Now you see why that's a very krummer psak. It's a krummer psak because you can never look at the future and say, if I would have known he wouldn't give me a guess, I never would have been maskim. If that's the case, the reducto ad absurdum is, no woman should ever need a get, because every time she doesn't give a get, right? Now, there was another case which is still shrouded in mystery. I was involved in this case, and it's very, very mysterious. There was a man in the Washington area who didn't give a get to his wife. And the reason he didn't give a get, okay, I mean, he was wrong, it's not right, he should give a get, he should have given a get, but he felt that he wanted more custody with his daughters. He's not a bad guy, but the pshat is he felt he wasn't able to see his daughter enough. He's in Maryland, and his ex-wife moved to Philadelphia. And Mimela, he said, I'll give you a get if you come back to Maryland. The truth of the matter is, he has a taina in some ways, but he should have given a get. They should have worked out another way. Okay. So what happened was, this organization, ORA. ORA is an organization out of YU. It's called the Organization for the Resolution of Agunas. They were having demonstrations in front of his house, and in front of his uncle's house, and in front of his mother's house. And where he works, for a congressman. He's on a committee, a tax committee. And they were demonstrating, and again, now the truth is he's very stubborn. The boy is too much of an option. I mean, he told him a million times to give a get. He shouldn't drag it out, but whatever. But he did have a taina. So all of a sudden, I see one day that ORA announces on their website, triumph, triumph, Tamar is now free. So everybody assumed, all right, the pshat is that her husband gave her a get. Then they issue another clarifying statement. No get was given, but Tamar is now free. What's the pshat?
Only way if he died.
What's the pshat? Well, he is alive. He is alive. So how does Tamar get free? So they got a psak from some chashuv people. I don't want to mention who they are. These were people who were well regarded. that the psak is not meforsim at all, so I don't know the details, but it basically establishes the idea that he had a serious mental condition, and therefore she never would have agreed to marry a person with a serious mental condition, therefore she doesn't need a get. Now the Emma says, I know the guy, I mean basically whatever mental condition he had, she knew about. I mean, they tried to work out. I did marriage counseling with them. I mean, he's an option. Listen, if you're going to say that people who are stubborn and unreasonable make it a kedushin b'tais, I think a lot of our marriages would just be, would be Ibrahim Bottom. I mean, he's a stubborn, unreasonable person. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he loves his daughter very much.
And he loves his daughter, yeah.
She left the domain.
So to say that blibes a kedushin b'tais that you don't need to get, and first of all, she vadai cohabited with him after she saw whatever chesronos, that's why they came for marriage counseling and everything else. So the point I want to make is kedushin b'tais is a big avla, meaning the yesaid is a valid emistika yesaid, but it is makukal and it's misused in all sorts of ways to matir renashis ish. And again, I will tell you for Dover Pashit that any psak of kedushin b'tais should be nimser to mamish gedayle hayram mamish. An individual rav. Besides that, that's another we could. I don't want to get into the lesson. I mean, it happens to me she comes from a very wealthy, influential, respected family, and whatever it is. The Catholic Church has the same idea. You know, the Catholic Church, Lahavdil, does not believe in divorce, but they allow annulments. Now, the theory of annulments is tais. That's exactly the theory, that if I would have known. But the average Catholic cannot get an annulment because the Catholic Church says, you probably knew. But if you're the Kennedy family, you can get an annulment fairly easy. So I don't want to say, I really shouldn't say this, but when I say to HaRabim, in the Torah world, this particular Kedushei B'tais has become like the Catholic Church annulments, that people who are well-connected get psakim of Kedushei Tais, when people who are not well-connected don't get a psak of Kedushei Tais. I mean, it's mamish. The analogy is so telling, you know, just a frightening. Bizayon, I tell you.
There's a very strong message that no one should accept the Kedushei Tais unless our Bezdinot are very accepted.
How right?
Well, she is.
What's her name? She claims she's a good one. She's a good monster. Whatever, cousin's friend, and I'm like, and then I talked to her a lot, and then she got out of her that she basically maxed out on all her husband's credit cards. Like, she spent, and she doesn't want to give a gift until she gets paid back.
Yeah,
I'm thinking you're going to have it on her.
There are reasons why. I still don't think a guy should hold back yet, but not everyone, not every magin is a Russia. Right. There are reasons. The person wants to see his child. I mean, there are reasons that if the other side would be a little more conciliatory, the get would be forthcoming. We're not talking about give me $1 million and I'll give you a get.
If the best mother says she has to come back from the government, it's fine because the father should
have. Would you ever get the next step?
Yeah. Someone should talk better when he said that.
Yeah.